thinking about and praying about how to handle this morning, my mind went to a word, the Greek word actually, for overflow. So one tiny Greek lesson this morning, because the New Testament was written in Greek, you have this word perisuo, all right? Perisuo. And it's quite an interesting word. So it's a bit of a word study on that, and it will embrace stuff we've already talked about all through this month, plus the work of the Holy Spirit. So I just trust it will bless you. So we're going to look at the general use of this word very quickly, and then we're going to look at God's generosity, and then our response to God's generosity, and then the effects of that. So that's the general direction we're going in. And so the general use of this word, as you will see as we look at a whole variety of texts, you have words like abound and overflow and excel. These are all different translations of this word, but probably to have or to be more than enough is the basic idea behind it. And so we have this verse in John 6, verse 13, which comes from the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000. And it says this: so they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. We haven't got anything on the screen. It's all right. You should be getting all these verses appearing on the screen. I'm glad I looked round. So we'll pause for a minute and make sure it's happening. Well, Phil will find that when he can. You got it? Good. Brilliant. Okay, so now go to the next slide, please, then. Okay, there's the verse. John 6:13. So you say, well, where is the word abound or overflow in this verse? Well, the English word isn't, but the leftoverness is the idea. So do you get the idea? Jesus fed the 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and the amazing thing is, miraculously, not only was there enough to feed the 5,000 men besides women and children, but there were 12 baskets full of the fragments that were left over after they had eaten. That is abundance. That is overflowing. That is more than enough. I want you to get the feel of that word as we look at these various verses through this morning, because the wonderful thing is that God has blessed us with more than enough in every conceivable area of our lives. We sometimes don't feel it that way, but it is. So let's have a look then, and this is sort of going back to the theme that Jonathan touched on right at the beginning of this series, God's generosity, and he handled it from the 23rd Psalm. But I'm just going to look at some words where this overflow word, this perisuo word comes in, and see how they relate to God's generosity. So the next slide is to do with God's grace. And we read in Ephesians 1, verses 7 and 8, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. That's the word, okay? The perisuo word. He lavished it on us. He poured it out. There was an overflow of grace. Not just sufficient grace, but abundant grace, lavishing his grace on us with all wisdom and understanding. And similarly in Romans 5 and verse 15, but the gift is not like the trespass. Well, here he's actually talking about the effects of Adam's sin and the bad effects it had. That's the trespass. And the gift is the gift of God's grace and righteousness. And he's saying there's a parallel, but in this case, it's not exactly right. The gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died by the trespass of one man, Adam, how much more did God's gift of grace that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? It reminds me of another verse in Romans where it says, where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. What is grace? It's God's unmerited favor. It's God giving us things that we don't deserve. And so, how we thank God for his abundant grace. Now, I don't want to encourage you to look back at your many sins. I'm sure we all are conscious of many sins during the course of our lives. But I don't actually want to concentrate on that this morning, because actually, if God by his grace has chosen to forget our sins, we should too. Yes? Don't keep harping back on it. God has chosen to forget it. He doesn't remember it. Praise the Lord. So don't you keep on remembering it and reminding yourself about it and condemning yourself for it. The grace of God has overflowed to you. But if you think your sins are many, this verse, not on the screen, but this thing about where sin did abound, how much more did grace did much more abound? Wow. So, however great your sin, I want to tell you this morning, God's grace is greater. God's forgiveness is bigger. And if you never experienced that grace this morning, I want to tell you, the goodness of God is a wonderful thing. And Jesus died so that all your sins might be forgiven. What grace is that? What goodness is that? What a wonderful Savior he is. It's redemption through his blood. His grace has been lavished on us. And so it overflows to many. I'm glad we're part of the many this morning. Part of the many. Hallelujah. And I am reminded of yet another verse still talking about grace, and John 1:16, which says, out of his fullness we have all received, and it goes on to, and grace for grace. And the Amplified Version says, grace upon grace, gift heaped upon gift. I like it. Grace upon grace. You've experienced God's grace, but there's more grace. There's an abundant supply of grace. The grace overflows. How wonderful is the grace of God? So that's the first thing. We see this overflowing generosity of God expressed in his grace. A little more briefly now, the next one is blessing. And God is able to bless you abundantly in so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Now, I'm going to touch on abounding in good work a little bit later. But for the moment, we're looking at blessing. God is able to bless you abundantly. Same word again. The perisseuo word, God is able to bless you overflowingly, so that in all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. I would like to get hold of the idea this morning, not only this idea of having more than enough, but tied up with everything we're looking at this morning, the idea that God pours out so abundantly that there becomes an overflow in us. That you are the vessel into which God overflows his grace, and that vessel, that cup, if you like, in itself overflows so that there's more than enough for you and it reaches out to others. The abundance of God's goodness. So his blessing, he's able to bless you so that you can be a blessing. He pours his grace into your life. He pours his blessing into your life in order that you might be a blessing. I'm reminded of Ephesians 1:3, which talks about God having blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. Not he will bless us, or that he might bless us, but that he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Wow. Everything's available in Christ. Praise the Lord. So there's grace and there's blessing. And the next one is joy. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 2. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. We've already talked about generosity during this series. But overflowing joy. How wonderful. Now, we don't always feel joyful. But when we take time to remember God's blessing, God's grace, the joy begins to well up. And what interests me is that these people, in the midst of poverty, in the midst of poverty, they're able to be joyful. In the midst of poverty, they're not only able to be joyful, but to overflow with joy. And I don't quite understand what Paul means by this, but it's the joy and their extreme poverty that well up into generosity. Extraordinary. The joy and the poverty overflow into generosity. Extraordinary. So, generosity could be another one that we have on the list. Joy. I'm reminded that the Bible says that in God's presence there is fullness of joy, and at his right hand there are pleasures forevermore. So one more joy? Spend time in God's presence. Spend time remembering all that God has done for you. Doesn't mean you always feel happy, but through all the difficulties, there is joy. And this ties in quite nicely with the next one, which is comfort. And this is 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 5. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. 2 Corinthians 1, 5. So here the idea is comfort overflowing. And Paul was able to talk about his problems, his difficulties, and this passage has always been one of Eileen's favourite passages, and in her present situation it's all the more relevant, I think. When you go through difficulty, when you go through hardship, when you go through trial, when you are being tested, you actually learn to receive comfort from God, and you sometimes say to yourself, what is the purpose of all this? And the truth is, we don't know very often what the purpose of our suffering is. But nevertheless, the fact that we are comforted by God in our suffering, that comfort overflows to other people when they suffer. And so Paul talks about our being able to comfort others. Wonderful verse. And so, in all of this, there is an overflow because of God's goodness, because of what he pours on into us. And what we're seeing also now, surely then, is that even in difficult circumstances, we can overflow. Even in poverty, we can overflow. Even in suffering, we can overflow. We can overflow with joy. We can overflow with comfort. We can be a blessing to others. We can manifest God's grace to others. One more to do with God's generosity. And this is a verse I've preached on here before from Romans 15 and verse 13. It's one of my favorite Bible verses. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Actually, in that passage in Romans 15, you have got several references to hope. Earlier in the chapter, he talks about that through patience and comfort of the scriptures, we have hope. And then just a verse or two before this verse, he talks about in him, Jesus, who will rule the nations, in him will the nations hope. He's the hope of the nations. Wow, the only hope for this world is the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is the hope of the world. And now we have this verse. And Paul refers to God as the God of hope. And this has been mentioned more than once, fairly recently, I think. When we talk about hope in the Christian context, it isn't that vague sort of doubting hope. Well, I hope I'll be all right. Well, I hope. It's not that at all. It's a confident expectation that God will fulfill the promises which he has made. And so the second coming of Jesus is the blessed hope. The thing we're looking for. It's not that we hope it's going to happen. We know it's going to happen, and we have a confident expectation. And we're looking forward to it. It's that kind of a hope. And God is described as the God of hope. And in Romans 8, he actually says that God subjected the creation to frustration in the hope that one day it will be liberated from its bondage to corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. It's quite a mystery, all that. God is the God of hope. God has hope for this world. God has hope for humanity. A very positive hope, because he knows what he's going to do. And if he's got hope, well, how much more should we have hope? And we can overflow with hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Ah, so now that's what I'm supposed to be talking about. But can you see that it is all interconnected? Because the Holy Spirit works through Christians in fruit of the Spirit, and have not some of the things we've been looking at already been described as fruit of the Spirit? And as we shall see in a moment, the Holy Spirit works through powerful gifts of the Spirit. So all these things, this overflowing, is actually to do with the Holy Spirit. God pours in by his Spirit wonderful fruits like love and joy and peace and patience. He pours in gifts, and we overflow with these gifts. They're an outward expression of what God puts into us. So overflowing with hope by the power of the Spirit. And I want to say to you, if you're facing a difficult situation right now, realize this: there is always hope because of the power of the Holy Spirit. And Claire's given us a wonderful testimony this morning of how she could very easily have despaired, and despair is the opposite of hope. But what a difference. And God moves on someone, and the generosity flows. There's an overflow, and hopes are realized and fulfilled. How wonderful. Which brings me into my second section, third section, I guess, our response to God's generosity. And in a way, I've already been talking about how we respond to God's generosity. But let's just have a look at three or four of these. All these verses containing this same word. The first one is thankfulness. Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. How wonderful. Well, the key to the thankfulness is receiving Christ Jesus as Lord. If you've received Christ as your Savior and Lord, and you can't receive him as Savior without receiving him as Lord, though sometimes we are quicker to be grateful that he saves us and less quick to recognize his Lordship. That can be a challenge. But if we've received Christ as our Savior and as our Lord, we are to continue in the same way. You received him by faith, so you continue to walk in faith. You've been rooted, a metaphor from gardening, and built up, a metaphor from building, in him, and strengthened in the faith as you were taught. So not only did you exercise faith in Christ as your Savior, but your faith has been increasing as you've been growing, having been rooted and built up in him, and as a result, faith increases and your thanksgiving overflows. And then 2 Corinthians 4:15, very similar. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. I think we were experiencing some of that in our worship this morning. There was an overflowing. Yes? In fact, Dave used the word overflow 2 or 3 times. An overflow. It's a bit more than saying thank you. We teach the children they should say thank you when they receive something. And it's always good to say thank you. You can't say it too often, really. So be grateful. But surely this is a bit more than saying thank you. And so, just, I'm not thinking of anyone in particular, just a general comment to you all. How often do you open your mouth in thanksgiving? Saying thank you to God. You see, we all sing the songs. And that's good, that's an overflow. But you know, sometimes it'd be nice to hear a few more voices of people overflowing with thanks, leading us in prayer, leading us in thanksgiving. Are you with me? You see what I'm trying to say? And sometimes that happens. I know some people are more shy than others, and I understand all that. And not trying to be negative at all. But I just want to tell you, you will be so much more blessed if you start to overflow. The blessing is not just in receiving. The blessing is in overflowing. So it's good to get something from God, but to let that goodness of God in whatever area it is overflow through you to be a blessing to others will increase the blessing for you. Not that you do it to get an increase in blessing, but you will. So I'm just encourage you. Just as you teach the children to say thank you, teach yourself to say thank you to the Lord. Make a conscious effort to thank the Lord more. And maybe, just occasionally, do it publicly. Do it publicly. It's not just for the extroverts. Okay? Let's be vocal in our thanksgiving. All right. Thankfulness. And the next one is generosity, which we've touched on already. But here it is, 2 Corinthians 8:7, and we had a whole talk on this. But actually, there's a lot more than generosity in this verse. The context is giving, you see there. Excel in this grace of giving. And here, the perisseuo word is excel in the English. But since you excel in everything, you overflow in everything. See that you also excel in this grace of giving. So the context is generosity, and I don't have time to develop the others here. But look, you excel, you overflow in everything, in faith, in speech, I'm going to mention that in a minute, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in the love that we have kindled in you. I'll say a bit more about love in a moment. I repeat, we don't have time to deal with all of those. But there are areas in which we can and should overflow. Our faith should overflow. Faith can be infectious. When people start to move in faith, it encourages others to move in faith. Speech, knowledge, earnestness. Hey, that's a nice word. Earnestness. What does it mean? Sincerity, absolute, total sincerity and meaning it. All right, earnestness, enthusiasm, overflow with it. But this other verse on generosity. And God is able to bless you abundantly, there's the word again, so that in all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor, their righteousness endures forever. So again, the context is about giving. Giving to the poor is to do with generosity. You can abound. And actually, Paul goes wider than this, in every good work. Every good work. You can overflow. What good work has God given you to do? You can abound in it. You can overflow in it. And move on quickly. Love. Well, this is an obvious one, isn't it? It's what the Bible's about. It's what Jesus is about. God is love. We'll just have a look at these quickly. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound, overflow, more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Abound, your love may abound, overflow more and more. And then he talks about being pure and blameless for the day of Christ. The day of Christ is the reference to the coming of the Lord. As we move towards the coming of the Lord, we should be loving one another more and more. And now, another passage, 1 Thessalonians. Now, about your love for one another, we do not need to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love each other. And in fact, you do love all of God's family throughout Macedonia. Yet, we urge you, brothers and sisters, to do so more and more. You say, well, where's the abounding word? Well, it's the words more and more. It's this same word again. Do so more and more. You do love each other. Love more and more. And also 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 this time. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. Remember, we were talking about God pours in and it overflows through us. In no area is this more obviously true than in the area of love. Because God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that whoever believes on him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And God has poured out his love. The love of God is poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given to us. And I'm reminded of a verse in 1 John which tells us that we love because he first loved us. And actually, one of the translations, in fact, the Old King James says, we love him because he first loved us. But actually, the word him is not there in the Greek. Of course, it's true that we love him because he first loved us. But here is something much more. Why do we love at all? Why do we have this love for one another? Why is it that it overflows? We love because he first loved us. Claire said to us in her testimony, she loves us. She thanks God for our love for her. Why do I love you this morning? Because God first loved me. And possibly if God hadn't first loved me, I wouldn't love you at all. Who knows? But we love because he first loved us. All right. Well, we're running short of time. Let's quickly deal with work. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. The old translation says, always abounding in the work of the Lord. It's the same thing. Giving yourself fully to it. Oh, so our response to God's goodness, generosity, love, grace, and all those things we've been looking at before is that we do some work for him. In fact, we're meant to work abundantly for him. Wow. You say, well, I have enough to do as it is. Well, yes, but what's more important than working for the Lord? And of course, it may well be that what you have to do as it is for the Lord. You should see what you do as for the Lord. Physiotherapist said to Eileen last week, your job is to get better. You've got no other job except get better. Do your exercises and get better. Interesting thought, isn't it? And everything we do as Christians, we should do as unto the Lord. So even if it is simply getting better, it's work for the Lord. I've used an extreme example, and I know Eileen won't mind. Well, it's too late if she does. But she's smiling, so I think I'm all right. Can you see? Our work should be for the Lord. Not just sacred work, secular work. But let's abound in the work for the Lord. And you say, well, I don't know that I can. Well, look at this other verse, 2 Corinthians 9:8. God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all times, at all things, you having all you have need, you will abound in every good work. See, your ability to do it comes from the fact that God pours out his abundant blessing on you. And then speaking. Somebody, I think, touched on this morning. Luke 6:45 and Matthew 12:34. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. And again, the old translation, out of the abundance, there's the word, the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And you've got verses like Psalm 116:10 and quoted in 2 Corinthians 4:13, I believe, therefore I have spoken. Now, this is a very important principle and really is a sermon all in itself. Don't worry, I shan't try and do one. But the Bible is very, very clear. You see, why does it say in Romans 10, for example, with the heart man believes, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation? See, if you really believe, you will confess. If you really believe that Jesus is your Savior, you will confess him as your Savior. There ought to be an overflow from the mouth of what is going on in the heart. And that's why Christians shouldn't use bad language. And that, you know, it's kind of debatable what is bad language and what isn't these days. I understand all that, and we won't get into that now. But you see, when you use foul language, it's expressing something in your heart. It's not a good thing to do, friends. Our speech should be seasoned with grace. It should be full of blessing, because that's what's in our hearts. So, you see, if you really love Jesus as your Savior and believe that, you will want to tell others about it too, in your speaking, abundantly in your speaking. And I could apply this in other areas as well. For example, and this is probably what you were expecting me to speak on this morning, but I've spoken on it that often here, I thought I wouldn't this morning. The baptism in the Holy Spirit, the initial evidence of speaking in tongues. I mean, we've done that sort of thing again and again. But that's all part of this. Because you see, when you're filled with the Spirit, God pours in. And what does Jesus say in John 7, 37 to 39? He says, if anyone's thirsty, let him come to me and drink. And out of his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. You drink of God's goodness, his Spirit. The text there tells you it is his Spirit. This he spoke about, the Spirit that those who believe on him should receive. Okay, so we drink of God's Spirit in order that we might overflow. Rivers of living water. What's living water? The message of the gospel. Overflowing in our speaking. And in a sense, that's what the gift of prophecy does as well. Because God puts something in you by his Spirit and you express it vocally. And that leads me to spiritual gifts, because I'm hurrying now to finish. So it is with you, 1 Corinthians 14:12. Since you are eager for gifts of the Spirit, try to excel, there it is again, perisuo, try to overflow in those that build up the church. I think if we're honest, for a church which is part of the Pentecostal movement, I'm not so sure we could say we are overflowing with spiritual gifts. We have a sprinkling, and thank God for that. In the words of the old hymn, mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. We get the odd drop, and thank God for manifestations of the Spirit that we do get. But friends, we really ought to be so keeping filled with the Spirit day by day, fanning into flame the gift that is in us, 2 Timothy 1:6 and 7, keeping on being filled with the Spirit, Ephesians 5:18, that there is an overflow, speaking among yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, etc. Manifesting spiritual gifts, telling others about Jesus out there on the street. There ought to be an overflow. Whether it's in testimony or in spiritual gifts. And finally, it's 12 o'clock. Its effects, just one thing, and that brings us right back to last week. Overflowing churches. I did enjoy Mark last week. Oh dear. I went to Ukraine with him. I know him well enough. Keep getting his name wrong. Right. Here it is, Acts 16:5. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and grew daily in number.